Isn't it interesting that God had Moses take the thing that was causing so much damage and fear and death in the camp, and he took that same thing and used it to save everyone?
Welcome to Tell Podcasts. You're listening to encouraging words from Pastor Joel, bringing you truth and peace through God's Word. In this episode, we talk about God's anti-venom against sin, death, and the devil. Do you know what the cure is? Where does it come from? Think, evaluate, learn, lead. T-E-L-L. Tell. Now here's Pastor Joel showing us what the Bible says is God-given anti-venom. Thanks for listening.
We read. They traveled, that's the Israelites, from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God, against Moses, and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Take a snake, put it up on a pole, and anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then, when anyone who was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. This is the word of God. What do I say to him? His daughter has brain cancer, terminal. She's going to die soon. What do I say to him? "Pastor, I just don't know. I don't know why God would let this happen to my daughter as she's been healthy." I mean, this isn't the way it's supposed to happen. Parents are not supposed to bury their children. Why is God letting this happen? Tell me, Pastor, what do I say? What do you say to someone in that situation? What do I say to her? "Pastor, my friends get so many likes on social media. They have so many friends. I don't have those friends. I don't know. I don't value myself. Feel worthless." What do I say to her? What do I say to myself when my conscience is weighing me down and I know the horrible sin that I just have committed, and my conscience is just burning inside of me saying, "How could you do? I mean, you're a Christian, you're a pastor. How could you do that?" You know, what do you say to yourself in those situations? I'm going to tell you, every single one of those situations, here's the answer. Here's what you say to that person whose child is dying, to the person who doesn't feel self-worth, to the person who's burdened by the conscience. You know what you tell them? Snakes. I told you, I'm keeping you guys awake today. Snakes. Is that an acronym? Does that stand for something? S-N-A-K-E-S? Nope. Is it supposed to be symbolic of something? No, I want you to literally think of snakes. But I want you to think of the Arabian carpet snake, or also known as the saw-scaled snake, because of the story that we read today. The Israelites, these were God's chosen people. They were the ones who were in slavery in Egypt. They called out to the Lord for help, and he delivered them, right? You get the 10 plagues, let my people go. And then they get out of Egypt, and then the Egyptians chase them to the Red Sea, and God splits the Red Sea, and people were able to go across, and then they swallowed up the whole Egyptian army. So, like, it would make sense then that the Israelites would go directly up to the Promised Land. Do you know how long that would have taken them? Maybe 2 months. But they sinned. They rebelled against God. And so God has them wander for 40 years in the Sinai Peninsula, the desert. Could you imagine? So the Israelites are wandering, and they're back at the Red Sea. I don't know if you guys caught that, but they're back near the Red Sea. They're wandering around. They have no food. Well, at least not good food. I guess God was providing manna for them, but like, imagine having cornflakes for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 30 years. You'd probably get to a point where you say, we hate this detestable food. They didn't have water, even though God had provided water time and again. And so they said, why did you bring us out to this desert to die? We should have just stayed in Egypt. At least we had food and water there. Life wasn't that bad. And they grumbled against God. After God had done so much for them, here they are saying, how could you, God? And so God sent snakes. The Hebrew here describes the snakes as fiery snakes. Some translations say venomous snakes. It could be that they were a orangish color, and that's why I want you to think of the carpet snake. It has an orangish-reddish tinge to it. So that might be why they called it a fiery snake. Or it's because of its venom. I am not an expert in snakeology. I don't know what the proper term is, but I watched a YouTube video. I watched one that was the top 10 most deadliest snakes, and the carpet snake, the saw-scaled snake, that orangish snake in the Arabian Peninsula was number 3 on the list because its venom is potent. There's different types of venoms. There's like ones that attack your nerves. So when you get bit, it like burns. Maybe that's why they called it a fiery snake. There's venoms that cause your blood to not be able to clot, so you bleed out. There's venoms that cause your blood to clot, and then you get clots in your blood, and that's not good. And then there's also venoms that like eat away at your flesh, and this carpet snake's got like all 4 of them going for it. It's a very dangerous snake. And they were taking out the people. You want to know what makes this carpet snake so dangerous? It's not like a big, scary snake that slithers up and you're like, whoa, stay back. It's about this big. Very thin, hard to see, blends in with the ground, comes out at night, finds a sweet spot, and waits there until you come by. So God sent these snakes into the camp of the Israelites, and people were getting bit, and people were dying. Like, there's a reason why, if you would play the game Would You Rather, and say, would you rather get bit by a dog or bit by a snake? Probably the majority would say, I'd rather get bit by a dog. Because, right, they'll bite and it hurts, but at least they don't have the venom. That's what's scary. Because when you're bit by a venomous snake, I mean, it's still two little needle bites. But the damage is excruciating pain, blood clots or blood loss, I don't know how that works, and flesh being eaten away, like it's the venom that makes this snake so dangerous. And people were dying because there was nothing that they could do to stop the venom. And so they cried out to the Lord. And Moses prayed, and God delivered them. He told Moses, take a snake, put it up on a pole. So Moses made a bronze snake, and he put it up on a pole. And everyone who looked at the snake in faith, they were saved. And that is why, when you're in those difficult situations where you don't know what to say to someone, I want you to think snakes. This snake, the bronze snake. Why? Because of what it said in John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Because that bronze snake in the desert is just like the Savior from sin that God sent to save us. See, you and I are all infected by this horrible venom called sin. And just like venom, sin is so dangerous and scary because each and every single one of us is infected by it. And look at the damage that it causes. I mean, talk about pain and burning from sin. Just ask the guilty conscience. Look at the damage that sin does. People die. Children get cancer. Car accidents happen. COVID goes throughout the world. That's all because of sin. And the worst thing, the most dangerous part about sin, is that it brings death to everyone. Not just physical death, eternal death, hell. That's the final and unstoppable result of sin. And just like venom, without an anti-venom, you're helpless against it. I mean, what, like back in the olden days, they would try to suck the blood out of a snake bite? Like, how well did that really work? No, without an anti-venom, you're doomed, you're helpless, you're powerless against it. And that's the same thing with sin. This thing that we all have, this thing that is so damaging, we are powerless and helpless against it. But what did God do? Just as he lifted up the snake in the desert, so also the Son of Man must be lifted up. God sent his Son to be the anti-venom for sin. And I love that comparison, that Jesus is like the bronze snake. And there's two comparisons I want to make. First of all, let's think about the snake. Jesus is like the snake. Am I allowed to say that? Like Jesus is a snake? Yeah. Like the bronze snake. It's a really great comparison. Isn't it interesting that God had Moses take the thing that was causing so much damage and fear and death in the camp, and he took that same thing and used it to save everyone? It's just a little bit different. God sent his Son into the world, and his Son became fully human, and his Son was tempted in every single way, exactly like we are, except he was a little bit different. He never sinned. But then, God took the sin of the whole world. He took your sin, and your sin, and your sin, and your sin, and my sin, and the sin of the world, all of it, and he took that sin, and he placed it on his perfect Son. So that his Son, though he had no sin, had the sin of the world on him, and he paid for it. He took it away. By Jesus becoming sin, he condemned sin. And he took it away from you and me. Amazing. And It also says that Jesus is like the bronze snake because just as the bronze snake was lifted up, so also the Son of Man must be lifted up. And what does that make us think of? The cross, right? The cross. The Son of Man is lifted up and on the cross. But here's what's interesting about that word, to be lifted up. Yes, we use it to describe Jesus being lifted up on the cross, but we also use the exact same word in the same way that we use it like when there's a victory on a team, they all lift up the coach, right? Or lift up the hero of the game. It means to exalt someone, to give them glory. So just as the snake was lifted up, so also the Son of Man must be lifted up. And there on the cross, the most amazing thing happens. There, God is revealed in all of his glory, and also there, God suffers the worst of humility. And how can that be? That God is fully humiliated and fully exalted there on the cross. God humiliated himself to the lowest of lows, where he was hung on a cross like an awful, dirty, filthy criminal. For all to see, right there on the side of the road, so the people walking by could look at them. You go, ugh, gross, look at that. The Son of Man was lifted up on a cross and was fully humiliated. Why? Because that's how God showed his full glory. Because what did the Son of Man do on the cross? What did God accomplish there on the cross? He showed his immense love for you and me. God showed all of his love, the love that he showed to human beings when he created them at the beginning, the love that he showed when he promised to send a Savior, the love that he has for every single human being that makes him long to spend eternity with them in heaven. God showed that there on the cross because we were doomed by the venom of sin. The helpless, hopeless, powerless result that we had was hell, and God took that away from you, giving you eternal life. And that's, you know, that's the second thing that Jesus does on the cross, where God shows his glory. He defeats Satan. He defeats sin. He takes it all away and removes it from every single one of us. The whole world's sin is removed. What a powerful, powerful thing that's happened there on the cross. And so that is why when you're in that situation where you don't know what to say, I want you to think of snakes. I want you to think of the bronze snake. I want you to think of the Savior who's lifted up on the cross. So yeah, what do you say? What do you say in those situations? Pastor, and it doesn't have to be pastor, it could be friend. You're a Christian, you read your Bible. Why would God let this happen? Why would God allow my loved one to get sick? Why would God let them die? I thought God is love. I thought God is powerful. What do you say to a person in that situation? Snakes. Let me tell you about the Savior. Let me tell you about how much God loves your loved one. That he's not okay with them just living a few extra years here on this earth that's full of the venom of sin. No, God loves your loved one so much that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life, where there's no sin and there's no pain and there's no suffering. That is how much God loves your loved one. That's how much God loves you. Because God doesn't just want you to have a few years with your loved ones. He wants you to spend eternity with them and with him in the paradise of heaven. That's what you say to him. What do you say to her when she says, Pastor, I feel worthless, helpless, hopeless. How could anyone love me? I'm not valued. You know what you tell them? Snakes. I don't know why I'm saying it that way. Snakes. You want to know how much you're loved? You want to know how much you're valued? It doesn't matter how many friends or likes you get on your phone screen. That's worth nothing. You want to know how much you're valued? God sent his only son to save you. He loves you as much as he loves his only son. So much so that he had him die so that you could have eternal life. When God looks at you, he sees a dearly loved child. He cherishes you, and he gave it all up to save you. You're a child of God because God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. What do you say to yourself? What do you say to yourself when you can still see the damage done by your sin? Or maybe, what do you say to yourself when your sin is so good and you're able to hide it and nobody else knows about it, but you still know about it and that venom of sin is burning inside of you and you're suffering and you just are looking for relief? What do you tell yourself? Snakes. Just as the snake was lifted up in the desert, so also the Son of Man was lifted up. Why? To be the anti-venom. To take away your sin. To take away your guilt. And you can know that all of your sins are forgiven. All of your sins have been taken away because the Son of God is the anti-venom. And he paid for the sins of the world there on the cross. Yeah, what do you say in those situations? Remember, snakes. Because God has given us the anti-venom. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen? Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Tell Podcasts. Tell's mission is simple: teaching you the real gospel so you can teach others. Remember, truth brings peace. For more about Tell, visit us on Facebook or at tellnetwork.org.